A high school teacher is warning science education is in decline, with not enough specialist teachers or support for the subject from the Ministry of Education. Dr. Andrew Rogers is the head of the chemistry department at St. Peter's College in Auckland. He says the subject's becoming watered down and some schools are avoiding teaching the more difficult NCEA science standards or discouraging students from sitting exams if they have enough credits. New Zealand's international PISA results, particularly for maths and science, have been in decline for at least the last 10 years. Dr. Rogers raised his concerns in an opinion piece published before yesterday's news of shock among science teachers that an advanced version of the draft new school science curriculum contains no mention of physics, chemistry or biology, specifically. I spoke to him before that latest development. Andrew Rogers is also the chair of Science Olympiad New Zealand.
So the Science Olympiad is a very, very tough international competition, and there are a number of different disciplines. I personally work with chemistry, but there's maths, physics, bio, geography, and informatics. And we compete around the world with the smartest human beings on the planet. That's the reality. And New Zealand tends to do okay, and we come back with medals, bronzes and silvers. But we really need to make more of a noise about it through the media and that, because what we're doing is actually very, very impressive. But unfortunately, we recently found out that our funding's going to be cut because they view the programs as elitist.
Who funds it, please, Andrew?
The funding ultimately comes through the business, was the MBIE.
Right, Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment.
Yeah, okay. So it goes through the Royal Society and they sort of coordinate it from there.
So you're head of chemistry at St. Peter's, and let's Correct. Just talk about your concerns about where science education has been heading for some time. First, can we talk through the numbers, the declining performance rates on those international measures like PISA? This has had some publicity.
Yeah.
We're falling behind in science and maths. Can you just overview it?
Yeah. So these are international studies, and New Zealand takes part, and for as long as we've been taking part, we've seen a decline. New Zealand, in terms of PISA, our science ranking fell from 7 down to 12. Now, that might not look like a big number, but if you look at the graph overall, in the space of 12 years, it's a reasonable decrease. But I think it's more telling something about the general health of our science programs. And the same is true for maths. In fact, in the case of maths, they were so concerned that a review took place a number of years back, and they were not very good reading, to be honest. It wasn't very good reading.
What's happening?
So, well, I think there's a number of things happening. If you look at tomorrow's schools, aspects of that kicked in 20-odd years ago, I think there's a lack of clarity in terms of the science curriculum, and it means that every school's got to reinvent their own wheel. They've got to start up their own teaching programs. There's a lack of quality teachers with maths or science backgrounds in the primary schools. And I'm guessing there will be tens and tens of schools in New Zealand that don't have access to physics, maths or chemistry specialists. I've even heard recently of a primary school teacher being forced to look after level 3 physics. Many students are missing out. In the old days, we used to have inspectors coming through, and this is before my time, and they were advising how and what to teach, and they were experts. We don't have those anymore.
The school advisors, I think, went under the previous national government, I think. I don't know how many were left, but I think finally that the last of those advisors were moved on then. Let's take it in part. Definitely short of teachers, specialist teachers, that has been an issue for a long time. Probably is around the world, I imagine. But let's come back to the foundations of science education, because this seems to be the focus of your recent op-ed. We have spoken to previously to the teachers of the teachers, right? Those working in colleges of education and universities. And they're concerned at the lack of confidence, competence perhaps, and confidence, and they kind of go together, in those graduating to teach. And the concern then is if you are not confident and competent in enjoying science, that's kind of relayed on to your kids. Can we begin, at what you see coming through from primary school into the secondary school system? Are we behind by the time the kids get there in many cases?
So I can only talk to my own school. We see students coming through who struggle with the basics, things like maths. I've got boys in year 11 that were still counting on their fingers how to do the 9 times table. So if we think of it as a pipeline, I think we need to do more at the front end of the pipeline. And that means potentially spending money to make sure we've got the right specialists in the primary schools, supporting them in terms of the basics, the old-fashioned things that we used to do, that we're not doing as much now. So that comes through to the secondary school. We're lucky because we're a 7 through 13 school, so that gives us at least another 2 years to spend with the students. And our year sevens and eights do get to come over and be with science teachers in science labs. But that is not true for most schools in New Zealand. Most schools, students do not start science until year nine.
Why does this matter? If you know, your point is here we are looking to science to be part of what is probably the next kind of industrial revolution, right? Everything from AI to trying to solve climate change, to personalised medicine needs people competent and confident. You know, software programming the works, competent and confident in the basics of maths and science, right? And do you fear that this is kind of almost going to be a new illiteracy in some ways for a generation coming through?
Well, I think we're already seeing it. I mean, there's two parts to it for me. In broad terms, I would like to see a more literate public, because someone who's sort of scientifically literate, they're more likely to make smarter or decisions around what they're doing. And if you look at the cost associated with, say, preventative diseases, which would be in the billions of dollars through the health ministry, now that's money that never comes back. Now, if we can have better educated people, I would argue that they would tend to make better life decisions. So at that level, we're hoping that people are better able to interpret and read numbers and so forth. But ultimately, everybody is relying on the next group of young people to come through and be the future problem solvers, the guys who are going to take on COVID. And we saw that during the COVID pandemic. We were just crying out for anybody who could help fix the problem. And that doesn't happen overnight. And New Zealand cannot continue to rely on getting people in from overseas. We've got to be able to have our own programs, and it's got to start right back in primary school, all the way through to research at the universities.
What is your frustration with the system, so to speak? You've taken a particular sort of focus on the Ministry of Education. Look, we've just been through another curriculum review, haven't we? We've been through the teaching practice model review that went on for about 4 years and is just the first iterations just come out. So when it comes to what's happening at the bureaucracy, education, leadership level, government level anyway, what are your concerns?
I just don't think they're listening. You know, I work with some really amazing people who have most probably more experience in curriculum and assessment and their own subject than the whole of the ministry put together. And yet I don't see them being called on to actually advise. We've got an ideology that's running right the way through our curriculum. And I would argue that 20 years of data is saying that it's not working. Now, in any organization that I can think of in the world, at some stage you question the data and say, I wonder if we've got this wrong. Now, science, I think, is just viewed as yet another subject, and they don't actually appreciate that science is different from, say, English. Now, in English, you learn three skills, broadly speaking. You read, you interpret, you write, and those problems get more complex as the years go on. Most students don't start science till year nine. We should be empowering teachers. We should be giving them things as simple as learning objectives, which is best practice all over the world. But we decided when we made lots of changes that the baby got thrown out with the bathwater.
What's the ideology you're speaking of, and is it linked to that setting of objectives?
Teacher versus student led. Student led makes a lot of sense on paper. It feels like a good strategy, but it's not always the right strategy. There's a good reason that the PhD comes after the undergraduate degree. In science, you've got to teach students stuff first. They've got to know things before they can start to apply it. Really good teachers, they're always going to push to a more student-led model as and when the students are available to it. But my personal experience and that of many of my colleagues, students love to have you in the classroom. They like you to help them. They want you to be able to lead them through things. And for a lot of these students, if I was to sort of let them be more student-led, we'd get nowhere. And it's quite an inefficient way of learning.
you're talking about the dumbing down of standards, and standards are always controversial in education for some of the reasons you've just been talking about. And certainly when they're introduced at primary school level, where the rate of development varies and is not necessarily linear, research would tell us. But when you're talking about standards, explain more. Where is the dumbing down happening?
It's an emotive word to say dumbing down, but the reality is teachers and students can choose between external and internal, and depending on what pressures there might be in the school, it could be that a school literally stops students doing external exams. So immediately their program of science that they're doing has missed out all the hard stuff. I know of other cases where teachers have turned students away from the exam room because they said you've got enough credits. So it's more about credit counting rather than are you getting a quality education. If you look at some of the exams, most of us anecdotally will say that the exams have got easier. I look at some of my subjects that I teach, and those topics have been removed out of the exam. You look at the chemistry scholarship exam. Over the last 3 years, they struggled to find 3% candidates to get a New Zealand scholarship, NZQA scholarship. So back to the drawing board, we've got to make it a little bit easier so we can get more students hopefully passing.
What's your concern about NCEA Level 1 and some of the changes happening there?
I'm not happy at all. Personally, I just think we've got to get back to doing the basics. You know, we always say, you know, we don't want to go back to the way things used to be. When in fact, what we should be saying is let's take advantage of the things that did work and leave behind the things that didn't work. And I use a very poor analogy. It always fascinates me that in modern medicine, we have been using for some time leeches to clean up sores. Now, that's a very old-fashioned technique, but it actually still has its place when used carefully. So it's a bit like that with education. There are things that we shouldn't have got rid of, but we have. And I think we've given so much wriggle room for teachers that they will be able to do whatever program they want to do within reason, particularly in the internals. And that doesn't mean that they will have covered a lot of the topics. And some have told me, well, I won't cover X or Y because I'm no good at that. And then it flows through to the students. And then the students end up becoming the teachers of the future students.
NCEA was in part about making sure every kid leaves school with a body of achievement that they can show to the world and to employers, rather than you're in the 50% that passed and you're in the 50% that failed.
Yep.
What would you do to it? What would you do to what's happening to achieve your objectives without having half the class told their failures and walking around with a bit of paper to support that? What would you do?
Well, there's a number of things I would do. If we could start with a fresh piece of paper, I would get the science people together to put together the program that they actually want. And I think the people that were sitting behind all of the decision making, I think they were quite selective who they wanted on their different programs. Let's get back some of the old fashioned guys who've been around a long time and understand the literature. If you talk to many of the teachers in the staff room, they're very happy with aspects of NCA. So I'm not against NCA per se. There are a lot of good things that they did when they introduced NCA. I like the idea of internals. I like the idea that there are multiple ways that we can assess a student's progress. So I think there's bits that we can steal with pride, I'd say, from different ages, and go back and put something together that covers all of the basics. The downside is you have to have the teachers that are able to teach that and teach it with confidence.
So you see things as a downward spiral that's gone on for some years, right? Science hasn't had the prominence it ought to have. We're getting fewer and fewer graduates able to go on and become the teachers of the specialties or with the breadth of knowledge that you want. And so And that then feeds back into what's happening in schools. Who's going to address it? As I said, we've just had 4 years on the teaching practice model, another curriculum review. We all know how fatigued teachers are for multiple reasons. They caught up in industrial action for 11 months as well. When you get to the nub of how to improve anything, but in this instance, how to improve what you're passionate about and where you believe we're really kind of losing the plot, who would be doing it? Who do you want to respond to what you are calling for?
I think we need the public. The public have got to complain to their politicians, their members of parliament, and say, why is it I don't have a maths teacher in my school? Why is it those schools seem to have everything, but we don't? I sort of think of it like an addict. You know, you've got to admit there's a problem, and you've got to accept that maybe it's not going to make pretty reading. Let's get it all on the table. Because I think that's the saddest thing for me, as someone who was brought up in the country on a farm, went to three small country schools, and, you know, on the whole, I got an okay education. And I went on and I did well, and I've spoken to many others with similar backgrounds. We need the public to complain, because the politicians will only ever get involved when they believe it's an election issue.
That is science teacher, and indeed he is head of science at St Peter's in Auckland, Andrew Rogers. As I said, I was talking to him before yesterday's News RNZ story on the sort of the draft new school curriculum as it pertains to science. It has four, I think, five themes, but no specific mention of physics, chemistry or biology. So these debates continue.